Come stop and take a trip down on my block. Where you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than Ginsu. And ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, let's put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side. From Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North. The West End to West Side, we bless when we step out. We stand down, rise up, stand together, why?
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri.
This is episode 13, titled Life as a Teenager, recorded live in our very own Zoom room. In this episode, youth leaders discuss the hard realities of life as a black teen in St. Louis with our guest educator, Terrence Crawley.
They say, who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's your girly Mira back again with another podcast session. We have some very special people with us today talking about being a teenager, you know, in the inner city St. Louis. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Terrence. Mr. Terrence, could you kind of introduce yourself, you know, to the listeners, let them know who you are, what you do, for those who may not know you?
Sure, absolutely. So officially, my name is Terrence Crawley. I am the CEO and Director of Programming for Two Men with a Vision. What we do right now is we work with adjudicated youth. The world would label them as high risk youth, and our focus is to direct them in critical thinking, anger management, peer-to-peer social development, substance abuse intervention and prevention, as well as referring them to different kinds of trauma therapy and things like that. St. Louis is rough. Life is rough sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's what we do.
Definitely. I want to just say thank you for all the work that you're doing and that I know you will do. Definitely a pleasure to have you on with us today. First question I want to start off with is, did you become a mentor because you seen a lack thereof, or even because you seen what it felt like to grow up without one?
All of the above.
Okay.
So I came from a house where my stepfather was a hustler. It was domestic violence. The typical story you see and hear when you watch a freaking male movie as depicted by Hollywood. I grew up in that. I got into the streets myself, and I just remember when I needed help and I started going to juvenile and stuff like that, there wasn't any help. You had Matthew Dickies or Herbert Hoover or something like that to go play sports at, but on a broad scale, the issues that I dealt with as a youth, there wasn't any help.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, I ended up being certified as an adult at the age of 15. And I spent almost 2 years in solitary confinement.
Wow.
And was released on my 17th birthday.
Wow.
And so as it would have it, life continued in the streets, broken home, back and forth out of jail. But luckily, no convictions for a long time. And still also no programming and no mentors. And then I had made up my mind one day that I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be a police officer. I'm tired of this. And so I asked the Caucasian police officer, used to harass me all the time. I was like, hey, I wanna go to the police academy. And because we grow up with that stereotype that because somebody's in a position of power, fireman, policeman, mayor, principal, teacher, whatever, when you're young and you don't have that experience and you don't have a group of people around you to encourage you or enforce what it is that you want to do, I believed him when he told me, you can't be a police officer. You know, you've been arrested too much. Of course, now I know that I would have had to answer a couple of questions, but ultimately they couldn't have stopped me from joining the police academy just because I had been arrested for a couple of things. I had never been convicted. That was the only thing that I had in my view, when you think of a structured employment or career or something like that. I didn't have visions of going to college or playing sports. You know, when I heard that, then I just kind of got back off into my music. And then I started having kids and stuff like that. And, you know, and then life moves forward. There's a bunch of years in between that. And then now we're here at this point.
Yeah. Dope. Thank you for sharing that with us. And actually, one of the other questions I was going to ask, you know, because you kind of already kind of explained it a little bit, but JB, from your standpoint, what is life like for a teenage, a young man, you know, trying to come up in St. Louis or growing up in St. Louis? Like, what is that like, especially for the people who may listen to this podcast and never even been in the areas where we, you know, grow up and play and, you know, live everyday life?
I mean, you grow up, you lose some partners, you deal with police, and you see all these different people dying every day, and then you keep hearing about how we got the highest murder rate and stuff. It's just the world we live in, the people our age, we don't stand together no more. It's everybody, it's cliques for themselves, and that's it.
Mm. So how do you all think we could get more exposure, more of our youth exposed to programs and activities that will help them get ahead in life? Because, you know, what it seems like is that there's just not a lot of resources, or there's not a lot of knowledge of what resources are available.
To be 100% honest, the NAACP is probably our best move moving forward in regards to, you know, the tide has changed. The world has changed. Society has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP needs youth, you know, such as yourself, Amira, for example, or Integrity, right? We need your guys' age range to move up into leadership, to lead the African-American culture, because there's a huge disparity in age right now. Most of the guys my age are either in the throes of some kind of addiction, in jail, deceased, or extremely uneducated and extremely depressed. The age group over me, there was a disconnect because we lived through the cocaine and the crack pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of disparity with fatherhood and motherhood and the understanding of how the world actually functions. Our children are being educated to be workers instead of thinkers, instead of bosses, instead of CEOs. And it's going to take, you know, your guys' age group, you know, there has to be, we need new generals.
Yeah.
And the older people have to understand that times have changed. Our culture has evolved, not necessarily in a positive way, yeah, but it's evolved. Right. It takes people who live the experience, the current experience, to change the current experience, because your thinking is different. A lot of you guys are a lot stronger than older people give you credit for. You're a lot wiser than older people give you credit for. And it stops them from allowing our youth to enter the doors. I teach the kids that I teach, you're all leaders at something. Right? You're number one at something, you're number two at something, and you're number three at something, you're number four at something, but you are definitely number one at something. Let's find out what that is. Over 95% of every crime that's committed is related to the poverty line that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to get 25, 30 of you guys, you know, your age range from 15 to 22, 23 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find the first group of leaders and form the first teams. And we have to give them their agendas and let them do and handle the agendas their way with guidance, instead of, you know, trying to tell them, no, you don't do it like that, because there's a gap in understanding each other. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a target of mine.
Cool. So, well, my next question would be, what are some of the best ways maybe that we could try to reach more of our youth, especially the ones that, you know, maybe deep into the streets, or, you know, just our youth in general, male and female? What are ways, like, to capture them? Like, what are different things we can do to get their attention, you know?
I mean, like, y'all getting our attention by giving us a little money after mm-hmm. we do that, stuff like that. So that's going to keep people coming, because everybody want money.
Yeah.
And y'all really haven't gotten it in any other organizations, unless it was Quo or so.
Gotcha. What about you, Mr. Terrence? Do you have anything on that one?
A whole lot. To capture their attention, you have to pay attention, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that these kids love? One, they love money. They love music. They love clothes. On a broad scale, to capture their attention, we would need the NAACP, the superintendents, especially of the 63136 area code, and St. Louis City. I say 63136 because that's where I'm from. That's the hot zone identified by the Department of Justice in regards to juvenile crime. I have the plan. I'm trying to organize the people to buy into it, to do like 1,000 African-American youth march. Even though COVID's going on, it'll look crazy. It'll be, 6 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of how dope that'll look, though. How long that'll be if you can get 1,000 African-American kids, not just males, right? And the citywide broadcast. You know, they do the VP fair, they do stuff like that. And I think that if you threw a march, I think that if you did a simple march like that, it would do two things. It would make parents and guardians pay attention and say, my kid's in trouble. How could I get my, who's doing that? And how could I get my kid involved? And then it'll also captivate some of the kids. You have to establish a positive influence on your guys' age group's level. You know what I mean? And I think that, like I do in class, right? We do book work, but we have real conversations. We're educating each other, on life. We have fun in there. It gets a little rough in there sometimes verbally when guys are expressing themselves, not with each other. Just getting it out, right? But they need that moment. They need that moment, and they need those ears to just let them, because anywhere else nobody's listening to them.
Exactly.
Most of our kids are identified as problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not identified as people anymore. We have to make our kids feel like human beings, not, I'll be lucky if I see 20. That's not rational thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. I guess the next thing for me would be, how does it help you when you get into something positive and not just when it's like court ordered or something, but when you find something like Story Stitchers or something, how does that stuff help you?
I mean, it's time out my day that I'm doing something positive, and it just take up my time, so I won't be doing nothing bad.
And would you say, there's a need for more things like this, to consume your time?
Everybody, it's time right now for our Pick the City Up art interlude featuring the St. Louis Story Stitchers titled Teen Rap Crisis.
So sorry, young girl. Look what these grown-ups done did. It's a mess.
I'm living my life in crisis. I'm stressing cause it's priceless. This hood is full of shysters. I'm good, don't eat no vices. My story ain't the nicest. You snitch, you sleep with Pisces. Anxiety in my chest when trying to keep it righteous. I just sit back and pay attention like it in the cut. Silence equals violence, yet it's still people ain't saying much. I'm raising up to save another life off in these city streets. Deprivation, no duration, never got a lick of sleep. Misdirection, the only guidance I've ever known. My mother working two jobs, so she's never home. My older brother tucked the chrome, he think he hella grown. I could see him outside on the corner selling stones. He never had a pops to tell him that it's wrong. And ain't nobody at the house, so we get left alone. He told me once that only when I get a little older, he'll show me how to flip them boulders, make that money fold up. My teacher told me I can be anything that I wanna, but I ain't got nobody when I go home that's a grown up to show me the difference from right and wrong. I need to know it, to mold and lead me in the direction I need to go in, to show a youngin' what it really means to be a grown man, and that it ain't all about selling dope and reefer blowin'. Told God send a role model for me to roll with, in the hopes I don't go down the road that leads to no end. My mother's brother was a hustler like my older bro is, till the day that he got busted, he been gone since 2010. I was only 10 years old then, looking up to him, now I can see my older brother slowly becoming him, and I can't help but wonder what will become of him. I don't want them to end up like my uncle did. My mother told me that there's something that runs in the men in our family. Time to put this run to a end.
Can't let it go. Kill my bro. Left me cold like the snow. Only the condolence he got was from the comment of a post that hurt my soul. Now I'm clutching on a chrome up his stools. Leave me alone, trying to fill him with big holes like missiles. Plus, mom's never home and pops blowing strong, so nobody's concerned about the effects on my wrong. So neither am I. I wipe my own tears when I cry. I can't contain it, so I'm leaking rage and feelings that's inside, and I ain't trying to hear your two cents if you ain't down to ride, cause you ain't no stepper if you ain't certified. Now just imagine if someone showed him the right way this would happen. It's so tragic, drastic, that he gotta carry this baggage alone.
There's no justice in this world, man, it's just us. Been that black girl in this country, shut, it's getting rough. I long from a young age, I gotta woman up. I gotta be prepared to see my people in these cuffs. They say the good die young, why can't we live forever? It's a shame we afraid of a piece of metal. Face on a shirt, RIP and bar the letters. Another man behind bars ain't gonna make it better. That was Lute's brother, and he out for revenge. It's a continuous cycle, so tell me when will it end? Mom's crying, cause kids dying, the reps are trying. The thought of me in the streets is terrifying. Every black boy, he wanna be a hero, but the S on his chest, man, it represents struggle. He tried to help out, but all that shit is trouble. His heart gone cold, so he let the world crumble. Black bodies on black bodies, black bodies. One shot in the chest, that's a dead body. No finger on the trigger, man, it shouldn't be a hobby. Guns flying out the window at a black party.
The girl was a scholar, so at least she graduated. But bro was broke, the lure fast money had to make it, and he did that. Yeah, they both was poor, but boy, he flipped packs. Invited to stay in his trap house, potential college, she risked that. To kick back with this cat, who couldn't care less than she gave up on her dreams. While he battled triple things, picked a destiny, chose being passed on a scholarship. Now she in the hood with old boy making dollars flip.
We always going left and right, but things go left, he's always right, which leaves me left to the side who's right. But when there's nothing left, I try to catch my breath and realize that all we do is fight, can't seem to make it right. Mama told me to demand respect. Some people tell me love is blind, and if he hits you, you'll be fine. But that's a lie, I know it now. I'm always sad, I'm always crying. Now I'm being strangled by a stranger that I used to know. What happens, I'm a good dude, I post on posts, but I don't bust them though. They say you're a good catch, a real nice dude. This where I ain't talking gardens, but your dad is mad at Son of Square. You still love your mama, would do anything for her. Is your money being long worth your life being shorter?
I mean, anything just that we just go outside and chill. We don't got to be outside. We can go to somewhere and just chill, just talk. Anybody can open up after they get to know somebody and they like somebody or whatever. There's something positive to do when you stay out of harm's way and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I know some of the questions that we came up with last week. One of the big ones was just, how did you get out of the streets? Especially for probably people that's going to be listening to this, they probably going to want to know, like, how did he do it? Like,
how did I get out?
Yeah.
I got tired. I just got tired. But I had, you know, in all honesty, I had an example. I had a homeboy that used to sit in the alley with me hustling. And one day he was like, just me and him, he was like, I'm tired. I was like, yeah, me too. Right. And then like 2 days later, I was like, I'm not seeing him. Mm. Right. Week goes by, I'm not seeing him. Finally go up, never knocked on his mom's door. You know how that is. Like,
yeah,
she knows that we're together. All we do is get in trouble. Don't come to my house. But I wanted to see if he was okay. He had went and checked himself into the Agape house. Right.
What is that?
Here in St. Louis, it was some kind of religious sanctuary or something, a program, some kind of program or something,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in 2000, early 2000. He was gone, right? And when he came home, it was like, just all in the hood, it was like, hey, so he had the crib, he had his mom, you know, when they're seeing him. And the brother just had this glow.
Mm.
He just had this glow. Like, that was not the dude that I've been with for the last 5 years. And that's not the guy that I was sitting in the alley with talking to. And so that was the first, you know, like, spark of hope in a long time.
Wow.
Right? And then so one day I just, you know, I'll share the story with you. I don't mind doing it. I was in the house and with some other people, and the marshals came. Everybody in the house went to jail except for me. I was the only person in the house that didn't have a warrant. everybody in the house was on parole or probation, was supposed to be around each other, whatever, and they came into the house looking for the person who lived in. And I picked up the phone and I called my grandmother and I said, I'm gonna die here. I need to leave.
Yeah.
And I knew one person, an ex-girlfriend that lived in Alaska. And I called her and I was like, yo, I'm coming up there. I've been dissing her for months. She went, come up here with me. I've been dissing her for months. And that day I was like, Grandma, I need you to buy me a ticket. I got on the plane and that was it. I went to Alaska. I made up my mind that I wasn't going to die.
Yeah.
I made up my mind. I'm not going to die like this. I'm just not. I'm tired. I'm not going to die like this. And I went as far away as I could not to be able to reach back and call for help or just get in the car on the bi-state or an Amtrak and get back to St. Louis. You can't just get back to St. Louis from Alaska. Like,
you can't.
Yeah, you can't. That's not an easy trek, right? That's not a give your cousin a couple hundred dollars and come scoop me up. I got you, right? But it was amazing when you change your mind and you actually take the step. Yeah. As soon as I got to Alaska, I got two jobs. First two jobs I had in probably 7 years. First time I had a job in 7 years, I even tried to get one. As soon as I got there, I had two jobs. Mm-hmm. And it was just different. You just have to change your mind.
Yeah.
There's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. T.D. Jakes has a sermon on that on YouTube. If anybody's listening, whenever they're listening, look it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
T.D. Jakes, nothing more powerful than the changed mind.
Yeah.
You just have to change your mind. Hopefully you have one person that no matter what they know you've been through will help you get there.
Yeah.
Just listening to somebody will allow them to make the change that they need to make for themselves. Not telling them what to do. Just letting them talk to you and listen to they can hear themselves when they're talking. You know what I'm saying? And if there is any doubt, that conversation that they have with you may be the push, over the edge to pull the parachute. You see what I mean? For themselves. When you got a parachute, you're the only person that can pull the cord. You got to save yourself, right?
Right.
And so sometimes, I mean, that's what it takes. It just takes the one person just to listen.
Definitely. I wanted to know, there are probably some things that we feel like the older generation could have done better. What things would you have liked to see, or would you still like to see our older generation do in order to help, you know, us as the younger generation move forward?
I mean, just speaking up, I'm driving around and stuff. Like, none of the OGs be talking to me. Man. Like, I don't think I would have ever found Mr. Terrence or a mentor or nothing like that unless I got locked up.
Mm.
Like, don't no old head be talking to me, trying to tell me the career.
I'm trying to get you the game before you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's good, too, because I know some people feel like they don't have a right to, you know, talk to the younger people. And I feel like, you know, like you said, Mr. Terrence, like, we learn from our failures, you know, we should keep pushing. And I don't think some older people don't understand how much a young person can learn just from their failures. You know, you don't always have to be a millionaire or, you know, own this and this and that in order to teach somebody a valuable life lesson. So, you know, JB, that's good. And one more question too. Just what advice would you all give to someone who feels like they're stuck in a cycle? How would you encourage them to stay hopeful? And JB, if you want to take it first, you can.
I just tell them it's gonna be a better day. Everybody gonna go through some stuff. You just gotta push through. Just try to find a way out.
For sure.
Self-control. You have to achieve self-control to change everything around you that you want to change. To achieve inner peace, true inner peace, you have to master self-control. And in order to even begin that journey with self-control, you have to understand metanoia. You know, it's one's path of changing their life, changing their thinking, changing, you know, the way they perceive the world. You have to engage, create your vision. Everything starts with a vision, and then you have to get the self-control.
Yeah.
And that's how you get out the circle. Because if you're in a circle, you're operating in a collective. You're not being an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And to break out of a collective, you have to gain self-control over yourself. You have to be able to say, nah, I ain't going. You know what I'm saying? I ain't kicking it with them no more. Whether it's him or her, sometimes it's even family members. That's where you got to get out the circle. You gotta establish self-control.
For sure, for sure. Thank you, Mr. Terrence, for being a part of the conversation today. And JB, you know, for sticking through it. And one last time, Mr. Terrence, what is the organization that you have started, just in case people want to go and find you and learn more about it?
Okay, so it's Two Men and a Vision. We're located at the Gary Gore Elementary School, Gary Gore Educational Center, 2545 Doorwood in Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Our contact number is 314-833-0095. You can call anytime before 6, leave a message after 6. The email address is savethepeople907@outlook.com.
Well, thank you again. It was definitely a pleasure having you. And I look forward to having you on more podcast recordings. Yeah.
You got to, because the channels are, you're opening a channel, Amir, and with you and Story Stitches and Integrity, right? You're opening channels out here that have to be open for your age group. And I thank you guys for having me. I love to come back anytime.
Well, thank you again, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you for listening. And last but not least, we want to give a very special shout out to the StitchCast Studio sponsors, the City of St. Louis Youth at Risk Crime Prevention Grant of 2020, Stewart Family Foundation, and Missouri Foundation for Health. To learn more, visit storystitchers.org.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers.